Hello and welcome to the EV Bits podcast. This is Rod Stuckey joined by Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
It's going great, Rod.
Good. So today we're going to talk about VIN decoding, what it is and why it is important for private party buyers and sellers to understand. I know this seems pretty obvious to a lot of folks, but really when you peel the layers back, there's a lot that goes into a VIN number. So Tori, before we jump in and explain why this is relevant, particularly in the Tesla and the EV world, let's just take it from the top for those who may not know and start with the what is a VIN question.
So VIN is an acronym for vehicle identification number, and which is kind of fun because everybody, you do it, I do it, everybody in the car industry calls it a VIN number, which we get a little chuckle because that really means you're saying vehicle identification number, VIN number. But yeah, me too. Yeah. So, but a VIN, a vehicle identification number, is assigned to a vehicle at production by the manufacturer of the car. And so whenever they're creating the vehicle and all the specs of the vehicle, the model and all the details of it, they're logging that in their system and assigning the VIN. And then they stamp that VIN on the vehicle. Once the vehicle has completed production, they share that with the DMV, with governments, with the online databases that are out there for parts and for other VIN decoding, stuff like that. So that is what a VIN is. It's assigned by the manufacturer.
Okay. So next question, Tori, what can a VIN be used for in terms of private party buyers and sellers, practically speaking, for how it could benefit them?
Well, I think everybody's heard of Carfax, and I think that that's the most obvious thing that you can use a VIN for when you're purchasing a vehicle on the private party side, is you can put it in to a vehicle history report provider like Carfax or AccuTrade, and you can get a lot of history on the vehicle.
AutoCheck.
You can AutoCheck. Yep. And that's provided by Experian. So AutoCheck and Carfax, they are able to go out and get with the DMV, with all the different insurance companies, and they're able to get a lot of information on it, how many owners it's had. They track the mileage of it because they're attached to the DMV. And every time you register a car, they log your mileage. And they're able to see if it's had accidents, how many owners it's had, et cetera. So you can get vehicle history reports. But there's also a practical use for it as well. Whenever you are ordering parts, I mentioned parts ordering just a minute ago. If you are into repairing your own vehicles or getting even accessories, you can share your VIN on a lot of different websites to make sure that you're getting the correct part for your vehicle. I've even seen this now on when you're shopping for tires. There are some tire places where you put the VIN or your tag number in, and it will go and make sure that you have the right vehicle that you're getting tires for, so you don't order the wrong tire. So those are a few verification pieces there. But essentially, you can get all the details of the car. You can see if there's outstanding recalls on the vehicle and even more using the VIN.
Yeah, and a basic function additionally would be, ensuring that when you're buying and you get the title, the VIN number stamped on the vehicle, ensuring you're getting the right title for the right vehicle as well. So now that we know what a VIN is, let's kind of a little backstory on part of what inspired us to do this cast on this topic was our 20 Tesla Model 3 Steered Range Plus. And how was the VIN to ensure that the package and the vehicle was what we thought it was?
Yep. One more note on the last question of what you can do with the VIN is you mentioned ensuring the title matches the car. It made me think of, you can see if there's a lien on the car. So that's another important component, especially if you're buying a car. You can see if there is a lien holder so that you don't give somebody cash for a car only to find out that the bank owns the car, not the individual. But to answer your question on that Model 3 that we had, when we put the VIN into our system to do a VIN decode and get back the model, there was a difference between what the VIN decoding said and what the screen on the car said. So the VIN decoding came back as a Model 3 standard, but the screen on the car came as a standard range plus. And I've seen this happen, you know, a couple of times, but you know, what you do in that scenario is you just reach out to the manufacturer. So the manufacturers have shared a lot of those details and what the VIN decodes down to with those online databases and with the DMV, but the true source of what a VIN means and what that vehicle is comes from the OEM. So if it was a Tesla, you can simply call Tesla and you can give them the VIN and they'll tell you the details of the vehicle, including color and everything, because they've got that in their system. If you had a Chevy, you could call a Chevrolet dealership and you could give them the VIN, and then that dealer will tell you the details that you need to know based off of Chevy's system.
Yeah. So you did mention that VINs have 17 digits, that they are unique. Can you take us through what does it mean? We're saying decode a VIN. What does it mean to decode a VIN?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are 17 digits in a VIN, and every single letter actually has a meaning. And some of them are grouped together, but here's a good illustration of a high level a breakdown of what the VIN decoding does. And then we'll take a look at a couple of or one specific Tesla. But the first digit of a VIN shows the country that the vehicle is built in. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are all US. And then other countries have other numbers or letters that are represented by them. But the very first one is the very first digit is the country of origin of the vehicle. The next two digits are the vehicle manufacturer. So YJ is Tesla, for instance. I'm not sure what HG is on this illustration, but that is the manufacturer of the vehicle. Then the next five letters tell the different, the vehicle's brand, the engine size, the type of car it is. It'll tell if it's hybrid or electric or if it's gas or if it's flex fuel. So it'll give all those details in this five letter or and number combination. And then the ninth digit is just a security code, and it kind of combines with the manufacturer creation as well as these five to know that it is the correct VIN. So it's like this, checksum of like, yep, okay, that digit's good, it's the right vehicle. Then the 10th digit is the actual year. M would be 2021, N is 2022, and so it just goes in alphabetical order. As it gets to Z, it'll start with numbers, and then when it gets done through the numbers, it'll start with the alphabet again. So it just alternates back and forth on that. Then you've got the 11th digit, which is the plant that the vehicle was assembled in, and then you've got the last six. And these are just a serial number of that specific vehicle, that specific model. So that's a high level breakdown, but I do think it would be interesting to take a look at a specific Tesla VIN. I've put it in up here. This is a site called Tesla Tap, and they specialize in decoding Tesla VINs. And you can see I've pasted in a Model 3. I've clicked decode. And this tells you the breakdown from Tesla's perspective of what these different numbers and letters mean. As we've already discussed, 1 through 3 is the manufacturer and the country it was built in. 5, it was built in America. YJ is Tesla. Then you've got the 4th digit. And for Tesla, that is representing that it's a Model 3. And so the 4th digit is a 3, and it is a Model 3. So that makes a lot of sense there. The 5th digit for Tesla shows the body type. Is it a Model 3? Is it a sedan? Is it a a coupe? Of course, they do have some coupes with the Roadster, but this also will designate that it's left-hand drive. It's an American car. It's a Model 3. It's left-hand drive. Then there is the restraint system and basically what airbags and what seatbelts it has in the car. 7 is the engine for most vehicles, and 7 and 8, and it'll tell the type of battery for Tesla. It's always going to be an E in the seventh digit because all Teslas are electric. And then the eighth digit tells if it's a single motor, if it's a dual motor, and that's important. That's a good one that you can look for and come here and utilize. If somebody is representing that it's a dual motor, then you would want to know for sure it is. And the VIN will tell you that on Tesla Tap. 9 is that check character that we've mentioned. And then the model year 10, this one was manufactured in Fremont, California. The 11th digit is an F. And then you've got the serial number of 738378. So that's a breakdown of a VIN for a Tesla.
Okay. That is so interesting. I've been doing this for a long time, and going all the way back to my days in the motorcycle business, they used the same system, 17-digit VINs. 10th digit was always knew the 10th digit was the year model, and sure. I always verified that, but that was about the extent of it. So I didn't really know exactly what all the other digits mean. So just to kind of sum this up, Tori, you know, in terms of if you were a private party looking to buy or sell, you know, a used Tesla, let's say on Facebook Marketplace, and to use our story earlier, it says it's a standard range plus, but you just want to verify everything with the year, make, model, and ensure that it is listed as it is. Would you recommend Tesla Tap or vehicle history reports or a little bit of both? How would you recommend going about ensuring the listing is what they are saying that it is?
I do recommend both. I recommend you go to TeslaTap.com, put in the VIN, make sure that it lines up with what's being sold. But a vehicle history report is going to tell you if there have been any accidents on the vehicle, that the mileage checks out, because you know Tesla Tap is just decoding the VIN and telling you the details of the vehicle from what they have from Tesla, to where a vehicle history report is tapping into the DMV for mileage, is tapping into all dozens of insurance companies to double check accident history reports and how many owners it's had and stuff like that. So I do recommend that you do both. And then if you have a question, as I mentioned previously, and you're going, oh, this is a standard range, they said it was standard range plus, call Tesla, call Chevy, a Chevy dealer, and just ask them, and they'll be happy to put it in there and tell you what that vehicle is.
Yeah, and as I was just asking you that question, Tori, it kind of hit me that, you know, a lot of sellers on talking private party sales here on Facebook Marketplace and other private party listing sites, they won't put the VIN. And so they may just say, hey, this is a standard range plus, and you're just taking their word for it. You have to actually ask them, hey, I need the VIN. Yeah. Because they could just be looking at their screen and it, there's a little software download variance or something like that. So that kind of goes back to Yeah, I was just saying that kind of sometimes the basics are so easily overlooked. You know, we get caught up in year, make, model, and just forget about asking for the VIN.
And I've noticed two things that I feel that, you know, people, as we always say, it takes all kinds of people to make a world. But I've noticed a couple of different quirks from people when they're selling a vehicle. One is that they don't like to share the VIN. And so,
which is silly.
That was crazy.
If you really want to sell it, it's kind of silly.
And the reason being is they feel like if they sell, they've heard these old wives' tales of if somebody has your VIN, especially on a Tesla, then they can hack into your system. And so I do think that it's a good idea to vet somebody before you share that, but they can't just hack into your system using your VIN very easily. Like that's not something that they can do. They'd have to call Tesla, provide proof of ownership, and it's just not a big deal. So even if you don't post it, if you're selling a vehicle, even if you don't post it out on the ad in the description, understandable. But once you vet that somebody seriously wants to buy it, send them the VIN. They need to be able to do the vehicle history report and verify those details. And you not providing it actually makes people feel like there's something wrong with the car that you're trying to hide. And then the second quirky part that I see from sellers, just on a side note, is they hide the tag, which I've always thought is funny, because you drive around all day, every day, and hundreds of people see your tag, and your car sits in your driveway with your tag visible. You don't have to hold your thumb up and block the picture with that. There is a Shelby Act actually where you can't get the information from a tag because there was a stalking incident from a U.S. senator's daughter named Shelby. The Shelby Act is you can't get personal information on the web or from a government, of course, from the DMV using a tag number. It's okay. You can take the picture and you can include the tag on there. But just a couple of funny quirks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good stuff. We'll keep it short and sweet. Tori, in closing, any final thoughts on this whole VIN number, what it is, decoding, misunderstandings, confusion, misrepresentations, et cetera?
Yeah, I'll say, we had one other instance where we, as a dealer, EV Bids, we purchased a Model S. We decoded it. We found out that it was a 60 for sure, but somebody had put a 60D emblem on it. And so you can't go off of the emblem. The emblem showed 60D for dual motor, but it was just a Model S 60. And we knew that when we purchased it and we represented it as such. So for anybody, just a little plug here, for anybody who is looking to sell their Tesla or other EV or hybrid vehicle, man, let us do it. Let us list your vehicle on an online auction and we'll verify those details. We'll save you the time and frustration on trying to do all of that. We'll write the description. And if we write the description, we have verified it. We know it's accurate and it's represented the way that it should be.
Yeah, exactly. And of course we're licensed and bonded to ensure safe and secure transactions. And that's one of the big benefits of doing business with EV Bids is, we're gonna do the identity verification and we're gonna be sure to handle with safe, secure, funding and lien payoffs and just all of that stuff in terms of paperwork that is easily misunderstood when doing business with private parties. So good stuff, Tori. I appreciate it. And this is Rod Stuckey for Tori Hornsby, and we will see you on the next episode.
Bye.